One of the coaches for Brigham Young University, the outside linebackers coach, also special teams coach. I'm sure he'll be coaching some special teams. Kelly Papinga, my former teammate and band of brother. Kelly, where the heck are you?
What's up, bros?
He's going back in time there with a forbidden beverage commercial.
I was just trying to get like on your level, your guys' level, because you're older than me.
That's true. I see how it is.
I was trying to find a way to relate, coach. You know.
Without
you yelling at me for walking everywhere, you know, we can't relate.
Is that what you did with Brian? You had to yell at him whenever he was walking?
Brian never did anything hard, man. He was always going slow. He's kind of in this, like, you know, this California mode of just everything was cool, you know, always just chilling. Hey, coach, what are you – all right, I'll be like, hey, Brian, what are you doing? Hey, coach, I'm just chilling. Oh, yeah, go chill on the sideline over there, buddy.
Just chilling. That's all. That's what I did. But I played fast in the game, though, which matters.
Hey, there you go, man. Do you believe – when it came to game time, he showed up.
Yeah, I mean, do you believe in that, Kelly? Like, if they're not producing necessarily in practice or at the speed that you want them to, you know, how difficult is it for a coach to see that they are truly a gamer and kind of maybe try to look past maybe some inconsistency on the practice field, or try to look past maybe a little bit of that lack of effort and project into the future and say, you know what, he's going to be a playmaker, so, you know, we got to put him out there. Like, how often does that happen, and do you struggle with that as a coach sometimes?
I would say that happens about one in every 100 guys at BYU. Now, that might happen more. That ratio might be a little smaller when it comes to players at other places. But at BYU, I've seen just a handful of guys. There hasn't been many that I've seen. Kyle Van Ooy would be one of them. Not that Kyle practiced that, but he did more in a game than he'd do in a practice. So,
yeah. I heard through the grapevine that Brady, sorry, I keep on cutting you off, Kelly. Say what you're going to say, and then I'm going to make a comment.
Oh, no, I just said it doesn't happen very often. Very seldom will you see a player like that.
Yeah, I think, you know, you do have some divas out there that are nursing some injuries, right? Look, there was a tremendous football player that's a part of your lineage, your family, Brady Papinga.
Yeah.
I heard that he never practiced. He'd just be like, I'm good.
Never practiced.
Brady Papinga never practiced.
It came to pursuits. You saw Brady over on the bike, dude. He was just freaking. That was the word on the street. He'd just get on the bike and. That was life for him. So, I mean, that's some guys when they get to some, you know, when they reach a certain point in their career, some guys, they just, that's kind of what they, you know, they've earned that. I don't know how else to say it, but they've earned that. I don't think Bronco doesn't do that very often, very many players. But, you know, there's a handful of guys that I've seen that done with, but it doesn't happen very often.
No, you're right, Coach. I would love to come and bear my testimony of working hard when you guys took over 2010. The takeover is what I call it, and a difference in my play on the field when I actually practiced hard and took practice serious. It definitely transitioned to the game. So I do thank you guys and appreciate it, which is why I always give you guys a hard time because I can't walk straight now. But with recruiting and going on to that topic, how hard is it for you guys to look at a player like that that you know is going to give you, you know, 100% effort? Because evaluating somebody like me, you're just going to see game film, right? And obviously in the game I'm going to go 100%, but how are you guys able to evaluate those players, you know, without looking at them in practice?
Yeah, you know, this time of year it's an evaluation period, so we're able to go out and actually watch practice. So I just got done watching the team practice out here where I'm at. And so you're able to kind of solidify some things that you saw on film. The thing that's hard in most states, there's only a couple states that actually get out and practice. Mm-hmm. You know, Texas being one of them where they're in pads, Georgia. Most of the southern teams, you know, they're in pads when they get into the spring ball. But everybody else, it's just, you know, 7-on-7 stuff, non-padded. So you're not going to see the physical part of the game. But you are going to see the athleticism. You are going to see the change of direction. You are going to see the work ethic. You're going to see most of that stuff just taking out the physicality part of it, which is nice, which is fun to see because a lot of guys, you'll see you'll see their film from the end of the season. You'll get that, you know, November, December, January, and then you'll come out and watch them in spring practice like we're doing right now, and they've taken strides from what you've seen on the game film, which is the case that I saw today. So it's, you know, it's fun to see that stuff happen. And so really all we're doing right now is really verifying, I would say, athleticism, work ethic, because the physicality part, that's going to be hard to see this, you know, this time of year, unless you're in, you know, one of those places that does padded practice.
Kelly, tell us about the process, you know, within the BYU football program and evaluating talent. So say you're out there where you're at right now and you see an athlete, right? Like, oh, hey, I like how that football player works, or, you know, how he looks. You know, after, you know, what happens then? You know, so he's there, you know, your practice is over. Are you allowed to talk to him? And then how is, you know, do you have like this like whiteboard that you put it up, you relay the information back to BYU, and then it's up on the recruiting board and you're keeping tabs on him? Explain that process to me.
Yeah, so like today, if I were to, you know, I knew about the kid that I was coming out to see today, so, and there wasn't really anybody else that stood out to me today, but let's say that there was that I wasn't aware of, so let's say he was an offensive lineman. So what I would do is, this time of year, we're allowed to go and make an evaluation. We're not able to make any contact unless the prospect's a senior. And so if they're an underclassman, you can't have any contact with them. So really your contact's with the coach when you get out there. You and the coach are, you know, talking. He's giving his evaluation to you. You're asking, you know, a bunch of different questions to see what kind of work ethic, character, that type of thing with the coach. And then obviously I go out there and I do my own evaluation at one of their practices. You pick up transcripts, you see what their academics is like. You talk to as many people as you can. If a kid's a seminary kid, you go to see a seminary teacher. If a kid's a religious kid and, you know, he has a church that you go to or that he goes to, then you can go talk with his pastor or somebody. You can go talk to as many people as you want to try to gather as much information as you can. But let's say I found an offensive lineman today. So what I do is I text, email, call Coach Tujay, depending upon how excited I am about the guy. Let him know, hey, I just found an offensive lineman. I'll get his huddle film. I'll email it to the whole entire staff. We'll do a quick evaluation of his game film. And then, you know, Coach Tujay then would, depending upon how much he likes him, would then come out and see that kid in a future evaluation. Now, we only get two evaluations per prospect during this spring evaluation period. So, we got to make them count. So it just really depends on how much Coach Tujay likes the kid, or how much, you know, I like the kid, or Coach Menhall likes the kid, to where, you know, we come out and do another evaluation period on that, or another evaluation on that prospect.
Well, I didn't know that you guys go that deep, especially from the religious standpoint. If guys aren't LDS, I didn't know you guys went and did all that. So that's a good sense.
Yeah, that's why they did a bunch of research. They talked to your pastor, like, does he really go to church?
Right. I'm like, would you just say to my pastor?
That was one of the reasons why Brian came to BYU, is because we were never able to get a hold of his pastor.
So that's exactly right. I'm like, how did I? I'm sitting there scratching my head, like, I'm happy. They couldn't have called Pastor Jones. They couldn't have called him, because – man,
we're just gonna have to take a risk.
We just gotta roll the dice on this one, Coach. You know, I get a lot. I mean, a lot of film sent to me, mostly from my mother, bless her heart, and it's from, you know, our church. You know, funny yeah. We're talking about this, and for whatever reason, everybody back home thinks that their son, I can give them a scholarship. And 100% of the film and the transcripts that I receive, I do not send to you guys, because I'm nervous. You know, it's putting my name out there, you know, my brand. I don't really know too much what you guys are looking for. But how do you guys, you know, really focus on former players or other people in the community, you know, kind of just forwarding messages and passing on
potential
athletes?
Yeah, how do you filter? You know, how do you filter through all this stuff? And what would also, if I can add to it, Brian, what is BYU fans, what should BYU fans know about that recruiting process and that filtering process to make it go right and make it so that they're not offended and they know that they have to go through proper channels in order for an evaluation to occur?
Yeah, well, this is what I would say. Send anybody that you think is a D1 player that can help BYU be successful. Honestly, we'll watch anybody. And trust me, we've seen some guys that aren't very talented. So I promise you.
That guy plays just like Criddle. He's not good enough.
Yeah. But we get emails from alumni all the time, of just regular alumni at BYU, not even former players. People sending this stuff in all the time. You know, there's a guy, really, obviously I can't say his name, but there's a highly recruited kid right now in the country that we would have never been aware of unless, because he's in a state where we usually don't recruit in the Midwest, that if this alumni wouldn't have ever reached out to us, we would have never known about the kid. And, you know, recent convert to the church, you know, type of thing. So it's pretty cool, you know, but that type of stuff happens all the time. And so I just, you know, I would say that to, you know, all the BYU fans and to the former players and whoever, anytime you have somebody, just email us. And it'll eventually get, you know, we use a filter. So if I get just some random email, I usually actually don't look at it. We send it to our BYU recruiting guys, you know, the guys under Coach Anderson, and they filter it, and it really goes through them first. They know what we're looking for. If it's a guy that they think that we want to watch, then they'll send it to us. But they're like our first filter. They filter through it first. And if it's a guy that they think has any sort of chance, then we'll watch him, and then kind of the process goes on from there.
Perfect. Kelly Papinga, outside linebackers coach for Brigham Young University, on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. You're traveling around the country right now, and we had Justin Anderson on with us. He's getting his feet wet in this new position as the player personnel director and also recruiting coordinator. And we asked him what his mantra was, what his main goal is, and he stated that BYU needs to win in-state. If you're not winning in-state, then you know, then you're not doing something right. And I know that changes every single year, right? Because every single year there's going to be different recruits around the country, different talent levels, and different needs within BYU's football program. But would you echo those same sentiments as Justin, that winning the state is the number one goal right now for BYU recruiting?
Yeah, I just think wherever you're team resides, you got to win that state. And so we're in Utah, we got to win that state, obviously. And I think you know, Utah's been a great state for BYU and over the years. And so we, a lot of really good players have come out of the state of Utah, man, for a lot of different schools. But you know, I can, you know, obviously talking to BYU specifically, man, it's the state that has the most LDS kids, which our team is made up of, primarily up. And so I don't see why there's any reason why we shouldn't recruit the state the best in the country. And we got to fight for these guys that they don't meet the state. And I know University of Utah's, you know, feeling the same way, and I know Utah State's feeling the same way. And so between trying to fight the guys off that are coming from out of state, we got to fight the guys that are, you know, in state as well to win these battles. And so Utah's getting recruited better than it ever has. I just saw something on Twitter that some guy tweeted out that half of the Pac-12 was in the state recruiting today, and there was half a dozen other schools from P5 conferences that were in the state today. And that did not happen 5 years ago. And that really, what that did is, when Utah went to the Pac-12, it really opened up the whole state of Utah recruiting. And so it's just, you know, that, I guess that's an exciting thing for the prospect. They have a lot more options. But, man, 5 years ago, when Utah and all of us were still in the Mountain West, you would have never seen that in the state of Utah. So it's, you know, something that's changed, and our recruiting has to be better, and we got to win more battles, and we got to fight off more guys.
That's definitely good for me to hear, Coach, especially with my son, because, you know, I love everything about Utah. You know, have a house here now, very fortunate, and want to be here as long as I can. But I told myself, you know, based on just football and recruiting, as soon as we get to high school, we'll move into like Texas or Cali or something. But no, we could stay here, you know, if it continues to get better. So that's definitely good news.
Well, yeah, that recruiting class of 2035 is looking really strong, Kofi, for BYU right
Kofi
now.
Kofi Logan, I'm just saying, man. You know, I'm dropping it right now. Coach, something that is interesting to me that I didn't really have when I was playing you guys either, is more engagement that you guys could have and more involvement with the actual players on the team in the summer. I know the NCAA made some changes. How does that affect recruiting with you guys? Do you guys, you know, try to split up that time, or do you try to have more of an emphasis with the guys in the summertime and trainings?
With our own players you're talking about?
Yeah, yep.
Okay, yeah, so, man, how it worked last year, and it's kind of different. Each coach, I think, each strength coach kind of wants it a little different. Coach Elmer wanted our help, and he, because the resources were a little different, when Coach Wintrich showed up, he kind of changed the whole philosophy on us assistant coaches participating. Because he hired, he had a chance to hire more help. And so, man, we have a bunch of interns now. We have Coach McClure, who's been with us as an assistant, but also we've, you know, added Kevin as another one of our – he's like our speed coach that he just brought on.
Yeah,
and
Kevin Heiberg. Is it Heiberg?
Yep. And then Ryan Boatwell as well. He's another assistant that Frank has brought on. And so our strength coach has really more resources. Really, we have four full-time strength coaches at BYU, and we've never had that in the offseason, ever. And
wow.
So, plus, I think we have, you know, a GA plus two interns. I mean, we're going to have, like, seven strength coaches out there, or five coaches. I think it's five. I can't remember. Or it's, like, five or six. I can't remember. There's some rule. But anyway, we're compliant. I'm just telling you that.
Yeah, but, we know BYU is compliant.
But, it's a cool thing. And so, really, we can be out there, and we can, you know, watch the workouts. But, really, we're not going to be coaching them. Mm-hmm. Those guys are going to handle everything, and kind of like when we're in practice, we don't, you know, Coach Winstrup doesn't butt in and, you know, tell me how to coach the outside backers. It's the same thing that goes in the offseason. I'm not going to butt in and tell him how to be a strength coach, and so I'm going to let him, you know, do his thing as a strength coach and, you know, let him take these guys through their workouts and get them bigger and faster and stronger and flexible and mobile and, you know, all those things that a great college football player needs. And so we can be around, which was not the case when we were all playing. When we were all playing, the coaches, you couldn't have any contact with the kid on the field. Now we can be in the weight room. We can go and check up on them as long as they're enrolled in school. So they have to be taking class for that to happen. If the kid is not taking class, then we can't know if the kid is attending or not.
Kelly Papinga, outside linebackers coach for BYU, on with the Cougar Sports, ESPN 960, wrapping it up. So we need to reminisce. We need to talk about also a great feat that was just accomplished by three former Cougs, Reno Mahe, Manasseh Tonga, and Ray Fanga, all graduating from the BYU, the Brigham.
Nice.
Great news, is it not?
Yeah, it is great news. And I had a chance to see every single one of those guys over the last year come back and see them go to class and see them in with tutors. And, man, I went and spoke at a class a couple weeks ago, and in that class I see old Reno Mahe. You know, he's in there, you know, finishing up one of his last classes. It was a coaching football class, and, you know, I think it was one of his electives. And so, I think it's a great thing for our program to get these guys graduated, and it's great for them and their careers and in their life to help support their families. And so, it's been a thing that, you know, these guys have gone on to the NFL, and they've had successful NFL careers. And I think it's pretty cool then to, you know, be able to come back and finish what they started, really. And we've had a lot of guys. I mean, David Nixon did that as well, coming back and finishing. Brian Keel did that as well. And there's some other guys. Daniel Sorensen was back this last semester finishing up his degree. And so I think he has maybe one more semester or so. So sometimes these guys, they don't get a redshirt year. And so they need to, you know, come back for an extra semester or a year to come back and finish their degree. And, that's the case in some of these guys. So that's one of the things that's really cool, is that you got a guy like Kyle Van Noy that never redshirted, that played 4 years, and ended up getting his degree in his time here at BYU, and then ends up becoming a second-round draft pick. So, that was a huge accomplishment for Kyle.
That's an incredible feat.
So.
No, I think that's it. How does that affect, real quick, like when a player – goes on to the NFL and has not graduated, does that affect the academic progress rate or the graduation success rate at BYU? Does that ding you?
So what it does is, what you're talking about is what we call the APR, and so that's something the NCAA looks at to potentially, you know, if we don't have enough guys graduating or staying eligible,
they can end up, if you don't have a certain amount of points, they can keep you out of a bowl game as the penalty. And so what happens for these guys that don't graduate, we won't lose a point as long as they, how I understand, as long as they make it into a camp. And so if they leave without graduating and they get into a camp or get on a team, then I think the better way to say it is that they get on a team, get on a roster, then we don't lose a point for them. And then they have to come back within a certain amount of time and start, you know, progressing towards their graduation before we start losing APR points. And so initially it doesn't hurt you, but in the long run it can hurt you if they don't come back and finish their degrees.
Does that affect players that have been dismissed from the team or from school for honor code or academic reasons?
Yeah, yeah. So if a guy gets dismissed, you know, academically or with an honor code issue, yeah, we will lose APR points. But if they do end up coming back and graduating, then we get those points back. So that's the thing that's great about Manasseh and these last three guys is we got points back for these guys from graduating. And nice. So they're helping the APR score for the 2015 year.
Awesome. Kelly, we appreciate all you're doing. Be safe out there. We know it's a jungle out there recruiting. See the forest through the trees, my friend. See the forest through the trees.
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate you having me on, man. You guys take care.